Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number three begins right now. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the show. Give me up on that text line. So to come, April Marie Fogle from 1819 News. Stick around for that. Sort of recapping the news that we haven't talked about. We talked about it a little bit earlier this week. The whole WNBA thing. That seems to be something, you know, that drives a lot of interest with sort of how some players are treated. I was listening to a segment, I don't forget where it was. They were talking about maybe there's some legal culpability here for the WNBA to protect their players. That yes, there are certain risks associated with playing in the WNBA, but some of these fouls, some of these, you know, is there a concerted effort here to target certain players? It goes beyond just the normal, understood, agreed upon risk of playing professional women's basketball. And then I hear we're going to test the merits of the W in WNBA here very shortly. They're gonna have to take a very unpopular position on trans athletes. Also, like I said, there's a lot of here's a discussion. I saw who was talking about this. It was Tim Burchett from Tennessee. The 2028 Democratic presidential primary, he believes, is Kamala Harris or AOC. That's the two most qualified or the two most popular Democrats. And Kamala Harris, former vice president, I think she's a horrible candidate. She's got a lousy work ethic. She's terrified of herself. She's just not sharp, not quick. Word salads. But she checks all the boxes for the institutional left. But the most popular by far Democrat in DSA circles, she's the queen, is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I don't know how she's going to be received by the public, but I suspect she is received very well by these Democrat socialist voters. They don't care. I mean, they're not really looking down the field. There's sort of a, and Republicans do this at times too, but I always like think that they use that in a way against conservative Republicans, especially the way they tried to with Trump. Oh, you get Trump in a general election setting, we're going to lose. You better go with the more moderate candidate. And they play that, they overplay that hand. Democrats haven't really had to play that hand at all. And I think that these Democrat socialist voters, they don't care what's downfield. And they feel like the party has let them down, just like, you know, here we are kind of looking at this on the other side for once. And, you know, Obama's out of office in 2017, and they haven't really had much. And here, we're going on 10 years now, a decade. And Trump beats Hillary Clinton. Well, we were told you had to have Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was, it was her turn. They staged the Democratic presidential primary in a way to protect her. With Debbie Wasserman Schultz, there was no other alternative. They shut Bernie Sanders down. They shut all these candidates down. They held debates at 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday. The DNC was doing things to help Hillary. They got their candidate, and they were told, "Well, we have to have her because she is going to be the only one who could win." And she gets beat. They knew going. I think a lot of people probably knew long beforehand, but they knew 2 days out they were going to lose. You could feel it on the ground in Florida. As you may know, I've talked about it. My job at the time, this is before I was doing radio on a daily basis. Steve Bannon was running, well, he had left Breitbart, but I was the Florida guy. I went to so many Trump rallies in Florida that cycle. And we were living in Tallahassee at the time. But I went all over that state. And you just sensed. And then I went to a few Hillary Clinton events. And it just wasn't the level of interest. One of them where she really needed to do well to have a shot there was Broward County, and she was 2 hours late. Went to the one in Tampa, and it drew flies. No one was really there. You go to the Trump events, and it's traffic jams and two-hour waits to get through security, and you could just sense it. And I think that was true, maybe not to the same degree as Florida, which is now kind of a red state. But it was true in other states. But they were, you know, they told their voters, they told Democrats, you have to do it our way or you're going to lose. And it turned out they lost. Now, the 2020 was different. And you're operating under COVID. And it looked to me like Pete Buttigieg was going to be the nominee after New Hampshire. They had all the problems of Iowa. They tried to roll out a bunch of new technology for the caucus system, and it didn't work. It was a disaster. Biden, in both those contests, has just abysmal returns. Somehow after South Carolina, the party elders got together behind the scenes. They cut deals. The next thing you know, Biden's the nominee. But it didn't really work out. He was a bad president. His mental capacities aren't there. But they were told, hey, you have to have this guy. And he didn't. The problem with Biden, yes, he won, but he didn't deliver. What was his signature accomplishment? He passed a so-called stimulus bill that we're still paying for to this day. And I do think that, like, you know, Democrats are aware of this. Like, he wasn't what he was, and he set Trump up to win again in 2024. He was so bad. And we did it your way. And Republicans went through this with John McCain, with Mitt Romney. We went with the candidate he told us we had to go with, and we lost. And we're tired of doing it this way. We're going to do it our way. Maybe I'm underestimating AOC. Maybe she will be their Donald Trump. Because it's hard for me to understand. I operate in a vacuum here. I'll readily acknowledge that. So, it looks like an AOC Kamala Harris presidential primary. And I think they need a better establishment candidate than Harris. I just do not. It's got to be a Gavin Newsom or somebody like that who's at least personable, who seems like, I mean, he doesn't seem like a normal guy to you and I, but to somebody in Michigan or Pennsylvania or whatever, seems normal. But it's early, and we're only 6 months away from that being everything. Presidential politics. But we'll determine a lot on November 3rd and which way the country is going. But the Civil War, I'm just telling you, the signs are right now. These primary elections are the things you want to watch to get a sense of that. 251-343-0106. You always claim any candidate is welcome to be on your show. Why don't you invite Mr. Jones to be on the Jeff Poore Show? No, he can ask. I'm not going to seek him out. I happily have him on. And I'll be fair. Same with Doug Jones, and I'll actually try to make that happen, DI Texter. I'm not opposed to having Democrats on. And I know where they're coming from, and, you know, won't engage in the, ambush interviews. If you're going to come on my awful radio show, then I'm going to give you warrant the respect of the show. It's your time, and it's your give it to the show. And guys, if you recall, you know, when we first got on the air here, in 2020, we had Senator Jones on almost every week until the election. And one time, if I recall, Tommy Tuberville comes on. And then on the other line, are calling me on my cell phone is Senator Jones wanting to respond. And we gave him 5 minutes. So we'll do it, DI Texter. I'm not, you know, opposed to that, but I'm not going to go seek these guys out. They can seek me out. Happy to have them on. Mike, what do you think about Forbes' top editor being fired after receiving $6 million from a business founder the magazine also works with? Is most journalism on the side of pay to play, or does it appear that way? I wish it did. No, I don't think it does. There's not a lot of money in it. I don't think that this is the norm. Typically, Mike, what there are outlets that engage in the pay-to-play. That's their business model. That's how they make their living. And that's how they use the First Amendment. They can use it that way. A lot of that's just messaging and but, yeah, they exist. I won't deny that. You don't typically see that on a big scale nationally. Paul, WNBA position on trans athletes, who will their position be unpopular with? Probably their players. If they fulfill like their stated position that gender is fluid or whatever, then men will play the WNBA, and we know how that will end. Derek, generational voting, it will be messy. She's coming. I tried to warn you, conservatives. We need a new Magna Carta. Debates are supposed to work like the stock market. A lot of information to float to the best candidate. It's not about a candidate winning. It's the plebs. Well, you don't have a debate about stocks. You have to find the information on your own. There's no entitlement to the information about your investments. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Carry on, sweet Southern comfort. Carry on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning. Tomorrow on the program, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, and a guest to be named later. Pretty typical for a Friday. But we're back in the saddle, baby. We got a week under the belt here of shows, and we'll pick that up tomorrow. Still to come on today's program, April Marie Fogle. That's in the next segment. Removed from, let's see, no pressure, lasts a full term. I don't know what's going on here. Scroll over. You sent me a bunch of pictures. Jason, I think you've been very fair to Democrats. You had Barbara Drummer and Spiro both on during the mayoral. Yeah, I told them this. I get it. The right-wing radio guy in Mobile, you got to go on his show. It's fine. There's a reluctance there. They had to be careful. Their job is to win elections, and appearing on the show may not be in their best interest. I get irritated when Republicans don't come on. There's sort of an elitism about talk radio. But Clyde Jones, you're invited to come on. You just have to find me. I don't know how to find you. Maybe you have tried. I have been on vacation, but to give it another shot. And we'll be as respectful as possible. Dr. Mariana writes, the airhead party appealing to all the airheads of the country. The only fluidity in gender is what comes out of each. No, but these social positions that test societal norms that have been in place for thousands of years are going to crumble. Okay? The WNBA is going to be such an example that there was sort of this unspoken thing, hey, don't really test it here, but this is what they want to do. They want to take a public position that's politically correct, that is virtuous in their eyes. Well, we'll see if they really mean it, or are they just paying lip service to it to make them feel good about themselves? Mike, I can promise you we've had enough of April and wedding girl talk. I would just watch The View if I want to hear girl talk. I don't think radio talk radio, 3 hours of talk radio a day is hard, especially if you're just kind of doing it on a fill-in basis. You don't do it every day. So I'm always grateful to April Marie Fogle for sitting in this or behind this microphone. Obviously, no one is going to be as well-versed as I am and as good as I am at the Jeff Poore Show. But, you know, it takes 3 hours to get through and filling the airwaves. Intellectual stimulation, if you will. Maybe it is for some of you. But, girl talk, a good dose of girl talk might soften you a little. 251-343-0106. We need to be in touch with the program. Please utilize the text line if you so choose. But that's really the news. We spent some time on the elections. There's Bradley Jay was talking about the South Carolina thing is intriguing. It just, like I said, it has all of the signs. Darlene Graham, Nordone, just seems a very Luther Strange character. It's tough. Your brother dies. And in the middle of the grieving process, you're thrust into this position of this high office. And then on top of that, you're going to run a flash election to win that seat. And you put the grieving aside to go through the ringer to run for politics. There's something kind of tragic about it. I saw the light. Chad says he listens for bumper music. No more darkness. Well, thank you for that. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Thursday morning. Well, a slight change. Well, not slight, pretty significant change to the guest lineup this morning. We will postpone April Marie Fogle after spending the last few minutes talking about her on the program. But joining us now on the line, I guess previously scheduled, but we're always appreciative of his time, the Republican nominee for United States Senate, also currently the congressman for the 1st Congressional District, Barry Moore, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, we are doing good. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, glad you could come on. Well, we'll start here just kind of generally speaking. I mean, you know, it's we're transitioning from Capitol Hill and the ongoings there into the election cycle. You're in pretty good shape as far as I can tell, but kind of looking back at this last round of happenings, I guess, head into the midterms on Capitol Hill. What's your assessment?
Well, I think obviously we're in a good spot. As the Senate nominee in Alabama, of course, you always run through the tape and try not to pull a hamstring before the finish line. So we're about 3 months away, but we're doing what we can to get around the state. I was in Birmingham yesterday, Huntsville today. I'll be in Mobile next week. And so just staying out in front of the folks, continuing to hear what the needs are, the concerns are as we go into the midterms. Certainly, it's important to maintain the Senate as Republicans and to do what we can to help people around the country win their races. And, you know, again, the House is going to be close. We know that. We've got to work very hard. We have a slim majority. It'd be great to keep it. Midterms are always tough on the president that's in office. So doing a lot of work, try to help folks around the country win their races as well. Stay in front of the people in Alabama, let them know what we're working on.
Well, and, you know, there's such this outside focused on what's going on the Democrat side right now, especially with this last round of elections on Tuesday. And, there's sort of a lot of weird things happening on the Democrat side. But what is the Republican outlook? I mean, it seems like a lot of what's going on sort of strategically is to try to point out, hey, you don't want this socialist wave to sort of developing the Democratic Party. You need to look and consider your options here, at least, you know, look at the Republicans and keeping us in place beyond the midterms.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, obviously, I mean, there are issues that are always, you know, front and center in races, just the normal midterm races, whether with us it's inflation, how do we handle the wages, the taxes, energy, immigration, crime, those things. But there's something different that's going on in the Democratic Party that I think a lot of people, blue collar workers who historically may have been Democrat leaning in some of these blue states, I think the shift to the hard left, this communist socialist, it's like the Democratic Party has lost control, really, of the narrative. And they've got, I honestly, a friend of mine who's a Democrat from North Carolina, she's pretty reasonable, I would think. She's, you know, she seems reasonable for most of the Democrats that we deal with. In the primary, AOC and Bernie Sanders came down and campaigned against her. And so it's so odd to me because she's been in D.C., I think, maybe for 8 to 12 years now, quite a while. And she's been she doesn't vote with us, but she's been reasonable on some issues that we could talk about. And here AOC and Bernie Sanders are doing this tour around the country to take out any common sense, even kind of moderate, what we would call moderate, you and I might not, but what the party in general would call moderate, they're trying to take them out. And so I think the voters are starting to look at that and go, wait a minute, this is really, really, I mean, we fought communism, we fought socialism, you know, around the globe in many places to make sure that people could remain free. And here we are in our own country now. We have leaders within the Democratic Party pushing for this hard left agenda. And so the Democrats have issues, and I think that does help us in the midterms, Jeff.
Well, the nightmare scenario, though, would be, you know, that somehow they start winning elections. And then I feel like Republicans need to be on the balls of their feet to combat a lot of this, because there really is something going on in Democrat circles. I think that the Democrat Party as an institution has held this back for way too long. That they would pay lip service to it. That they in some ways encouraged it with never having any intentions of ever enacting any of this stuff. But now here we are. It's 2026. They've been putting this off for a long time, talking about these ideas, these, you know, socializing a lot of aspects of our lives and have the government, it would effectively be communism to some degree. And then you can't help but wonder, well, what if you start having some of these candidates get elected and this is what they want to do with the country?
Yeah, and I think there are a few that are already in D.C., but I agree with that. I think that they allowed, they gave lip service to this, you know, big government, big brother, you know, no private property, there is no God kind of stuff. And now they've kind of played along, but the old saying is the camel got his nose under the tent in the party. And now I think the party itself has problems. And you know, I was talking to an individual last night at a meeting we were in on defense and command here in Huntsville. And, you know, he himself thought that the fundraising, if you look at the numbers for the Democratic Party, has fallen off dramatically, and the Republicans are doing far better. And so, and to Trump's credit, he's been able to get some of the union support, a lot of the blue collar. He's kind of changed the Republican Party in some ways, but I think for the better. People who are maybe not socially as conservative as we are, but they certainly understand that they want capitalism, they want free markets, and they want opportunities. And so, you know, we're seeing the fundraising numbers dry up, I think, for the Dems. I think that within the party, there's going to be a fight over those funds and where they allocate those for certain races. But you're right, Jeff. I mean, we got problems. They got problems. And as a country, we've got problems with socialist and communist people who are openly against our Christian values and our faith are being elected. It's going to be trying times in D.C. if those people get elected. It's going to be an additional issue for us to govern, if that makes sense.
Congressman, I mean, just my perception of things is I think so much of this election is going to come down to quote-unquote affordability, kind of a generic made-up term for the sake of elections, but there's some truth to it. And, you know, it all sort of pivots to Iran and what we do there and get the Strait of Hormuz taken care of. You're still kind of running to the tape, you said, and I assume this is true for you, as I hear from other candidates out there, that people really are worried about gasoline prices. I think we're fine in Alabama with Republican leadership, but you know, I did like a tour of the upper Midwest. I mean, this is what's driving a lot of the so-called blue wall state type voters toward Democrat Party politics. What do you see? Is there a resolution that can be had before people go vote on November 3rd?
Well, you know, I would love to see us. Obviously, I say this, but we need to land a plane in Iran and get a resolution. You're dealing with, again, these apocalyptic type leaders, and even the memorandum of understanding that the president offered a few weeks ago, trying to get some semblance of an agreement. But, you know, for us, and I think affordability, you know, the answer isn't to become dependent on Iran or Venezuela or anybody else. The answer is American energy dominance. And so I think it'll take us some time, but we do have to message on the fact that a lot of the money that was printed during COVID, that printing of dollars, and you and I have talked about this, created a lot of this inflation. And then Biden and his predecessors, his party, they just did everything they could to crush American energy. And so they were trying all these, you know, solar and wind stuff that was not consistent, was not dependable. They were shutting down our pipelines at the Keystone and letting Russia open Nord Stream. And so we were becoming more and more dependent on other countries. I think what we've done in Venezuela will allow us to obviously have oil and energy and those people to benefit from that. But the ultimate solution to affordability is energy here, energy now. And I think the president's working in that direction. Now, whether or not we can get that message and the blue wall, as you call it, across some other parts of the country, if they understand that this is a process, it took 4 years to mess it up with COVID and the printing of money and the runaway spending, and also crippling U.S. energy. I think that if we're able to message on that, I think the future's bright. I talked to an economist a few weeks ago. Somebody seemed to be pretty knowledgeable. They said our economy is poised to do great things we just got to figure out this thing in Iran and get this energy figured out. But I think the Republicans, with the leadership, the way that we're structuring tax reforms, regulatory environment to allow energy to be produced, industry to grow, I think U.S. is in a great position. But whether we can message that, and we're not always the best at messaging, you know that as Republicans, but if we get that message across, I think that President Trump's next 2 years will be quite amazing.
And so that to me is, for Republicans, the message here. Now, we get some good economic data. Some of this, the inflation reports, PPI, showing signs that things are easing. But there's still a perception, right? And you know, you don't want to make the mistake the Biden guys made. I'd say, hey, stupid, the economy's great. You need to vote for us. Because people, I don't think really, they're not connecting the dots here for whatever reason. There's just this sense that things need to improve. And, you know, whether or not they get the message through whatever the metric is that is put out of the day, or is it this, that Republicans need to articulate, this is what we're going to do to continue the path to prosperity?
Absolutely. We have to be able to articulate that, and we have to build trust within the voters. I mean, with what we're doing and what we're saying we're accomplishing, and looking at the numbers that we're seeing with Trump's, you know, inflation has been down pretty consistently, especially in his first term before COVID. It went through the roof with Biden, and he's gotten it back under control, even with energy as it is, and even us dealing with those issues. If they can trust us, to continue to trust us to do what we got to do to get the president's agenda across the finish line, I think the U.S. economy, not only national security, but our economy will be poised. We're seeing a lot of offshore investment into the U.S., and Alabama is so very well poised to benefit. As President Trump talks about the golden age of America, we in Alabama, with the relationships, the investments that are coming to the state, Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan just named Alabama as one of the top five states in the nation to invest in. I think we have to continue to push that, hey, the president's got the plan. We're working the plan. We have the relationships. Our state and our nation will benefit. The American voters need to trust us on that, and hopefully they will. And again, if we articulate it better, that's always good for us, Jeff. And we're not always the best at that. And the media certainly don't help us with messaging.
No, and that's the big hurdle, right? The media.
That's right.
And you know, I think a lot of it's gasoline prices. They're going to ease come Labor Day when the blend changes. But you're talking about it like we could do so much more domestically. But, you know, still it's that petrodollar and that the domestic producers that they could sell it to a Far East Asian country, then they could get more for the barrel of oil. They're going to go in that direction, it seems like. There's only so much we could do domestically. Like, it does really come down to figuring out the Iran situation.
Yeah, and it takes time, too. And, of course, the energy markets, obviously, the doorways to a huge portion of the world's energy supply is through that Strait and Hormuz. But I think the fact that we're building refineries now, that they'll actually process here in the U.S., we haven't built refineries because of the permitting processes. We've eased the permit. We're making investments in refineries. Obviously, we've got Venezuela, like I said, they're going to bring some of their – we've had equipment invested from companies from the U.S. for years that were seized by Maduro that are now going back into production. So there are some things, but these things take time. And this – it didn't get broke overnight, obviously. They've been crippling energy for decades. But I think we're fixing it. I hope the American people trust us and see us to do that. But you're right. If we can land the plane in Iran, and 90 days is a long time, things can happen in a day over there. But if we can get this thing fixed in the next 3 months, I think there's a great opportunity. Number one, for us to maintain the House. Certainly the seats in the U.S. Senate that are up for grab, I think we're in a good position there to maintain the Senate. And more than anything, that's why we've got to make sure we send good conservatives to the U.S. Senate. If, in fact, we lose the House, there needs to be a line in the sand in the U.S. Senate to protect the president, to protect America's liberty. And that's one of the reasons I'm running.
And not to belabor it, so you think there's time going forward, and I wonder about this, you know, just talking to these strategists or whatever, that is some of it baked in, maybe perhaps about people's general attitudes about the economy? Or is there, you say 90 days, is that enough time to get enough and getting enough to maintain control of at least one or the two chambers on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, and I think it depends on in the timeline when that happens, right? If it happens in the next 30 days, for sure, I think we're in a good position. If it happens in the last 30 days, it's going to be difficult to move forward. But again, I think the Democratic Party is their own worst enemy and some of the candidates they're putting up for the general elections. And so hopefully the American people will vote for liberty and then continue for us to message on things that we can do to finish the president's agenda and what he's trying to do. I think that there is time. But, Jeff, it is we can't rest on our laurels, obviously, on the U.S. Senate side, but we certainly need to do what we can to help those candidates around the country that are in some tough general elections against the Democrat where there's a district maybe that Trump lost one or two points. Maybe he won one or two points, but the other party has control. Those are the areas we need to target as a Republican Party across the country.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this, just the electoral politics of it and keeping the Senate. I guess, you know, Republicans seem to be, despite the headwinds with the economy, otherwise the structure is there, that there's fundraising. Republicans are at an advantage over Democrats in a lot of ways on this stuff, that and the redistricting is going to help some too. That it's not a worst case wave scenario like in 2006 or something like that.
Right. And honestly, depending on if the environment improves a little, I mean, Georgia could be in play, Michigan, obviously North Carolina, Maine, Ohio, Alaska. There are some Senate seats. There are some areas where I think there's an opportunity to pick up maybe a seat or two in the Senate. But again, you and I talked about this. We got 90 days. It depends on how that environment changes between now and November.
Congressman, you're always very generous with your time. Thanks for hopping on this morning. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, right now represents the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama, but will soon be or is the Republican nominee for United States Senate on November 3rd. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Thursday. Apparently, you can't have too much April Murray Fogle. But apparently, back in the day, we had set up something with Congressman Moore to do every like third Thursday of a month. And it was put in his calendar. And we never finalized it, but it's been in his calendar ever since. So here we are. Maybe we'll try to continue that trend. But we'll do makeup. Segment with April Marie Fogle at some point. Mike, man, I've got $5. More girl talk does help anything except dumb down people's IQ. Well, that's not very flattering for your family, Mike. Ultra Runner, one more here. You nailed it when you said intellectual stimulation. That's why we listen. You inform, you give great analysis, and you are entertaining. I run while listening. So for me, you're also a great training aid. I need to be my own training aid, I think, at some point. Anyway, enough of that. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
What I've got is it seems to me that he's running for you. So, I mean, that's right. If you're motivating the running, then you don't have to run. And so Ultra Runner is running for you, and it's a team. He's sharing, you know, his running with you. You get a little cut of that
action. And his name is Ultra Runner.
Yeah.
So it's not just Runner. It's Ultra Runner.
No, I think he and I have talked about this before. He's one of the Ultra Runner people. I'm in awe of them. But they do, like, last year, hiking Mount LeConte in the Smokies. And it's a grind, you know, for Flatlander, who's chunky, heading up, you know, up to 6,500 and whatever it is, 93 feet. And then some guy goes running by you up the trail. You're like, you're 1 foot in front of the other, you know, hiking the trail. And here comes, you hear, going right by you. Running. Like, hey, excuse me. And like, you're killing me. You're running up the side of a mountain.
I would just lose my breath getting out of the car.
As long as I'm walking, I could pretty much walk up anything you got out there. A little bit out west, the lack of oxygen gets to me, but I'm not running anywhere, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's the only time it's ever gotten to me is in recent memory. We went to Colorado and went up in the mountains for a day, and you really feel it. I mean, like, it's a real thing. Get back down to Denver, you're fine.
Yeah, down to if you get up, it starts getting real. About 7,500 to 8,000 and beyond. You know, get up to 10, you start really telling, and you put 50-pound backpack on your back and a rifle over your shoulder. It tests it pretty good.
But. I'm not gonna have to worry about doing that anytime
soon. Come on, I will take you sometime. Hey, coming up in just a minute here on Midday Mobile. Great to get this man on the show. First time on the show, the mayor of Sims, Brandon Van Hook, is going to join us. So he's going to join us hour number one. You got questions for the mayor? 251-343-0106.
All right. You should stay tuned for that. Well, it has been a pleasure, but I got to get out of here. My time is up. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. I'll try to do better tomorrow. This has been the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.